I'm going to take the next few minutes, and I need my deacons that are here to come on up and be on the platform. I've got chairs for you. Brother Jerry, get your carcass up here. You can sit in my chair. Brother Mark, Brother Taylor, you're going to have to sit between Brother Lowther and Brother Smith. You'll have to ask him that question. And I think Brother Brinklow is not here tonight, but let me... Acts chapter 6, take your Bibles, turn there. Acts chapter 6, verse number 1. They don't know why they're up here yet. They're still wondering. And no, you're not fired. Nobody gets off that easy. Acts chapter 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timnon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them, and the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." Tonight, I want to honor 5 men in our church whom we call deacons. That would be Buck Brinklow, Brother Jerry Lowther, Mark Rogers, Matt Smith, and Gordon Taylor. I would like to take a little time after a while in the service, and I'll address them individually, but I feel like I need to teach a little bit about what a deacon is. I think I need to teach what God says about it, how it has matured into today's timing, but let me start by saying this. Only eternity will reveal all the good that these men have done with Grace Baptist Church. These 4 men are in some great way responsible for over 800 people being saved in the last 14 months. If that's all they ever did in their life, that's an awful lot. But they have done far more than that. Our church owes these men a debt of gratitude. They've helped us get going for the first year or so. And the position of deacon in the Bible is one of only 2 positions officially given by God in the Bible for the church. One is pastor, the other is deacon. And by the way, it is the only position that, and I'm going to use a word I'm not real crazy about using, but I'll use it. It is the only position that is for a layman or a layperson to hold. You have to understand, as our church grows, we'll probably someday hire an assistant pastor or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, depending on how much we grow, amen? Those are still pastors, though. Though there would be 1 head pastor, you have many assistant pastors as a work grows, but they're still part of the pastoral staff. They're not lay people. But a deacon is a layman. Now, it is second only to the title pastor as far as position speaking in Scripture. Now, listen to this. It's probably the most misused, misunderstood position in modern day history of the church. It really is. In Acts chapter 6, and don't worry, fellas, I'm not going to embarrass you tonight. Don't worry. I can hear Jerry's wheels turning back here. Is he going to do what Brother Hiles did years ago? No, I'm not. All right? Was that what you were thinking? I knew it. I could hear the wheels turning back there. In Acts chapter 6, the church in Jerusalem was growing. You have to understand something. The church of Jerusalem had grown to the point where 4 chapters before, in Acts chapter 2, you had the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people were saved and baptized in 1 day. This is a church of many thousands of people. This was a church that was moving fast and hard. And by the way, up until this point in time, 11 disciples were pastoring and assistant pastors in this church. They were still all right here. You had 11 people hand-trained by Jesus Christ himself for 3.5 years that were pastoring that church. Is it no wonder that it was taken off like it was? They had just been through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. They had seen all the miracles. They had been through the ministry of Jesus. The world was poised for revival to cut loose, and it was going crazy fast. And the Bible says that these pastors, these assistant pastors and pastors, got so busy with the daily work that they could not keep up with it anymore. And they chose out 7 men here to help them. The Bible says not to neglect the widows. There were other things that they did, you'll see later, so that the pastors and the pastoral staff could spend more time meeting the spiritual need of the people. It does not mean that the pastors are supposed to sit in their office, drink coffee, eat donuts, get fat, and do nothing but read the Bible and pray. Okay? That's not what the Bible teaches here. Just so you know, when you go to 1 Timothy 3, you'll find out if that's all you do, you disqualify yourself as a pastor. Okay? There's more to pastoring than you understand. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 1. Middle of the verse towards the end there. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews. You had the government complaining about what the Jews were doing with the church. You had public officials saying, look, your church is growing so fast, you can't take care of everybody. We can take care of them better. Sound familiar? Things haven't changed in 2,000 years. They chose out 7 laymen to be deacons to help serve the people. These 7 men would lift the load of the preachers so that they could meet the spiritual needs of the people. And God blessed the church even more. If you read with me in verse number 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient unto the faith. Wow. Not only was that church growing, but it continued to grow because of the work of these deacons. Now, that's due to the fact that they were able to help lift the load. God has blessed our church. We have grown because of these 5 men. I don't have any doubt about it. This church has grown more than you understand. On September 22nd of a year ago, 2012, we started. I don't know what year it is. Good night. I've already been scheduling stuff into 2014 so far ahead that I don't even know what today is unless I look at the calendar on my desk. So a year ago, September 22, we started by faith. And let me tell you, by faith. I set up 50 chairs in the Holiday Inn. Amen, Brother Logue. I said, get me 50 chairs. He said, well, it might be 52 or 53. I said, okay, if it evens it out, we'll do it. And we did. And then we added another couple rows, and another couple rows, and another couple rows. And we had 102 people that Sunday morning. I said, Lord, have mercy. What happened? Well, we've had people come, we've had people go, we've had people come, we've had people go, we've had people come, we've had people go, we've had lots of visitors, we've had people join, and we've had people leave. You say, oh, is there something wrong? No, welcome to church. Been that way since it started. That's just the way it goes. But we've been averaging since the program's over, we've been averaging right at 140 people every Sunday morning. That means usually you lose about 40% your first year. If we lost 40% and we have grown by 40%, we actually grew by 80%. That's pretty good growth. By the way, that's not based on one man. That's based on God and some of the work that these men have done. Now, I'm going to give you, these 5 men have been used by God to help us have and get all we have in the first 14 months. Do you realize the chairs you're sitting in, the building you're in, fact that we even had a place to meet. Sometimes we weren't sure from day to day where it was or from service to service. We've got the piano, the PA, we've got chairs to sit in, though they're not as comfortable as the ones we're about to get. We've got all of the nursery equipment, we've got the Sunday school classes, we've built the walls, we've got all of the office stuff, we've got another piano in that room to help us with practices, we've got all of the other things that we do here. Say, how did all that take place? These men have helped us get it. If it ever snows, and hopefully it won't, but if it does, the church has even purchased a four-wheeler that has a plow on it so we can take care of the snow out of here so we don't have to get some of you women out there with snow shovels shoveling so us men can pull the cars in. No fair, is it, fellas? But at least we'll have fun moving snow. I know you men so well, I even got a plow that has a come-along on it so when you drive it over the ditch over there, we can pull you out. Okay? Amen, Brother Barnes? There's just so many things that God has done through these men to establish a foundation on which Grace Baptist Church can be built. Let me give you six statements about deacons from the Bible. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I want you to put your finger in there, or open it up and hold it there. We're going to come back to this in a second. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll just hold on there for just a little while here. And I hate to do this, but I'm going to start reading in verse number 1. It's not that I hate reading the Bible, but I'm trying to hurry here. But I feel like I must show you something here. Verse number 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Look at me for a moment. The word bishop and the word elder both mean pastor. Elder is not a laity position. It is a pastoral position. You have the word pastor, you have the word bishop, and you have the word elder that all three define the title of pastor. One, meaning the leadership of the people. One, meaning the leadership of the business of the church. The other is as a counselor to the people of the church. Those are the three different areas of administration of a pastor, and God uses those interchangeably for the same position. It's not a separate position, okay? Verse number 2, a bishop or pastor then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, amen, Brother Lowther, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into the reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, see that word likewise right there? That's a connecting word. That means so must, okay, or so should the deacon be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine. You're safe, Brother Lowther, when you go to Target and say you're getting coffee. Not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also be first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Now watch this. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their houses well. For they that have used the office of deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to stop there. There are six statements that I want to give you about deacons, and then I'm going to tell you about these men for a moment. Number one, and I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Deacon is one of only two official positions in the church, and it's the only one to be held by laymen. Number two, don't worry, the rest of them don't go that fast. Number two. A deacon, biblically, is a position of service. Okay? It is a position of service. He is to help care for the duties and help serve, to help lift the load of the pastor or the pastoral staff so they have time to be with the people, spend time with the Lord, counsel, do the business and work of the church for the church. For instance, there are times where we've needed things done around the church. First people I'll call, I hate to say it, is often the deacons, and see if they can at least help me oversee something, because things are just going so busy so fast. That means, for instance, we have some new members as we've been growing. And I'll be honest with you, when you've added as many new people as we have, there's only so much I can do to get around to everybody's house all the time. So I have commissioned our deacons, and they have already started. As new families join, I have a new packet of information that we give our new members. It's got a license plate in it. It's got tithing envelopes in it. Amen. It has, it's got pens and notebooks and different things in it. It's got some other materials in there that we're giving out. And they are now delivering those new members' packets for me and getting into the homes and helping me. You say, why? Because it's just happening so much so fast, I've got to have a little bit of help. And they're helping me serve. They help me with the follow-up. Every one of these men help me with follow-up. Brother Lowther teaches our Agape Couples class that's growing so much, they're forcing me almost to knock a wall out of the rooms that we just put up. And then Brother Taylor, he helps Brother Pop oversee all the greeters at the doors and helps us with that. They help in Sunday school. Every one of these men either helps in Sunday school or in some area of service. Brother Smith and his family, they take care of the baptistry for me and all the baptismal needs that we have. You don't see the hours that this family puts in. Make sure we've got clean water, hot water. Make sure that that tank gets cleaned out. Make sure that the converts get the clothing that they need. Get it clean. Get it back. Make sure it's in place. You say, why did you ask them to do it? Because they're deacons. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to help us make sure things are in place. When we have Lord's Supper, I rely on them to get it set up. And then they help me serve it, and they serve it to you, and we do that all at one time together. These are just a few of the things that they do. As we have sick people or shut-ins, or as we get folks that are widows that have need, these men help with the care of that. I know that often there's a couple of these men that some of the older folks in our church, when they find out there's a need, they call me. Brother Bush, do you think so and so could use my help? Think I could? Oh yeah. Brother Rogers would often help Brother Hawkins, especially after he had a stroke, and try to help make sure his grass got mowed and things. I love that. That's what a deacon's all about. Serving the people. Number next. In modern days, the government looks at a deacon board as an official board for financial decisions or as a business or corporation. Everybody look at me for a moment. This is where churches get in trouble. You're looking at the pastor of Grace Baptist Church. These men don't pastor the church. Now, these men help us so that no one person has all the power. We believe in protecting everybody. You realize I cannot sign the check. If you want money, I can't sign the check. I have to approve it being signed, but I can't sign it. My signature means nothing at the bank as far as the checks, and even I can't sign a check for this church if I wanted. It'd be no different than you trying to sign one of the church checks and being able to cash it. It won't work. Say why? That protects me, and it protects them. So they act as an official board. We work together to bring business to the church, to keep things running. And on bigger expenses and things, I get their advice, and we work together on some things. But the government looks at it because not one person, though I may have the title, I hate using this word, but CEO in an administrative level, that doesn't mean a CEO makes every decision by himself and doesn't clear it through anybody. When we signed the lease, these men's names were on the lease, as well as mine. Say why? Because we acted as a board to make that decision on behalf of the church. Everybody understand that? Now, let me give you number four. It goes with number three. Number four, deacons in the Bible have never been there to run the church or run the pastor. Never. Never. Any deacon that raises his head up and says, I know more than the pastor, has just violated his position as deacon. Okay? And everybody pay attention to me just for a second. I grew up in a deacon's home. My dad was a deacon for over 30 years. I understand the title pretty well. I've been in Baptist churches as a full-time staff person for 25 years almost. I have been in more deacons' meetings than I care to think about. And I've been in some big churches. I've been in some not so big churches. I've been in some pretty nasty meetings and some spiritual meetings. I can promise you this, we have never had stress in a deacon's meeting. Well, not too many times. No, we have a lot of fun. We enjoy each other, and yet we're serious about things. These men will tell you, I don't want yes men. I need men to tell me if I'm about ready to make a mistake or that's not a good idea. And they've told me that a time or two. You say, does that bother you? Not at all. I tell them to tell me that. You say, why? Because we need to protect our church. I want to make sure things are done and done right. Deacons, number five, are to be spirit-filled men that help reach people for the church. Now, there is some business that goes on, but may I say this, the deacons are not the ones running the church. If there's a problem in the church, come see me. It's not them, it's me. Everybody got that? That's how simple it is. You say, that's a dictatorship. No, that's the way God set it up. You have to understand, Brother Lowther works for Northrop Grumman. He knows more about what he does than I know what he does. And the things that he does do, we can't tell you or he'd have to kill you, and I need your tithe, so we're not doing that. So, then you got Brother Rogers. Where's Mr. Rogers? There he is. You got Brother Rogers up here, and he works for Wholesale Tire. He runs Wholesale Tire and manages it. Can I tell you something? He knows more about tires, but I know more about church building. Brother Taylor, he just retired from the United States government. He don't know nothing. No, he's a very vast, well-rounded person, and I'm talking a man of unbelievable experience. How many presidents have you directly worked for?
Five.
Worked for five different presidents, personally. I'm not talking little stuff. A man that knows what he's doing. And then you got Brother Smith. by the way, a very accomplished man and a professional man. And these men know their areas quite well, but may I say something? They're very diverse. They all have different areas of expertise, but we work together to help build the needs of this church. They are to be spirit-filled men that help reach people and help our church grow. Stephen was one of the first men mentioned as a deacon. Find out that Stephen went out and preached, was preaching so hard that the people got mad at him and killed him. Fellas, don't get that radical on me, all right? I love the fact that he was spirit-filled. How many of you remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch and how that Philip was preaching and he saw there was a man named Philip that was a deacon. Now, I don't know if that Philip was one of the disciples or if it was one of the deacons, but I do know this, it was one of the two, and it could have been either. But I do know this, the Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Ghost. Man, that's powerful stuff. By the way, these are spiritual men. These are men that pray for our church, and these are men that pray for you, and thank God these are men that pray for me. And I love these men. Now, number six, deacons and their wives have biblical qualifications. The deacons and their wives have biblical qualifications. Let me show you what they are. The Bible says that they are to be grave. That does not mean dead. Okay? The word grave means honest or honorable. That means they need to have integrity. By the way, these men do. You add Brother Brinklow to that list as well, even though he's not here tonight. Very capable, very honest men. The Bible says not double-tongued. I'll give you a word that I think goes with it. That is the word loyal. Not double-tongued means this. They don't talk two ways about the same subject. They don't tell you they're for it and behind your back tell you that they're against it. That's called being double-tongued. Okay? That means they're loyal. Okay? The Bible says not given to much wine. That means they don't drink alcohol. They might fall over in Target and knock it all over themselves, but they don't drink it. Amen? And by the way, that's exactly what the Bible means there. It says not greedy of filthy lucre. Now, listen very carefully when I make this statement. That does not mean that they're dirt poor and they have nothing. I don't find anywhere in the Bible where it's wrong to have money. But the Bible does say not to be greedy of filthy lucre. That means two things. One, your whole life's ambition shouldn't be to be the richest person in the world and see how many people you can hurt to get there. Second thing is how you get your money. If you're working for some beer company, you shouldn't be a deacon. If you're working at Charlestown Races and Slots off of gambling, which is an ungodly way to earn money, it's not wise. I don't think it's wise for us to have people as deacons in our church that get their money from the tobacco industry, the alcohol industry, or Hollywood, or a place of what the Bible would call filthy lucre, or filthy money. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Verse number 9 says that they live in the Word of God, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. These men know the Bible. That's why I have them teaching Sunday school and assistant teachers. I've got one man that teaches, two men that are assistant teachers, and got Brother Taylor. He goes around preaching everywhere he goes, trust me. And I love and respect this fella. Now listen, the Bible also says for the wives that they're to be grave, not slanderers, sober, and faithful. Grave, meaning same thing as it was, honorable. Not slanderers, that means they don't go around gossiping. Sober, that does not mean not drunk. It means serious-minded, not giddy, not, let me borrow a modern term that I like better, not ditzy. Okay, faithful, loyal. The Bible says that a deacon is supposed to be the husband of one wife. Now, everybody look at me for a moment. I have studied this. I have people that have tried to explain it away. You can interpret it your way. You take it up with God. I believe that means a man should be the husband of one wife to be a deacon. Just because you've been married and divorced doesn't mean you can't serve God. I thank God for every one of you that are here.
Yes, sir.
But there's only two positions scripturally that disqualify you if you've been divorced: pastor and deacon. That's it. Okay? Now, I know I've had people tell me, well, that means just one wife at a time. I think that's stretching it. I do. I think there's some very good men. I think there's some very good men in here. You've had the misfortune of a divorce in your life, and you are incredible men. I wish you could be deacon. But scripturally, we've got to hold to. I'd rather get to heaven and God say you were too strict than for him to say, you aren't strict enough. I don't know about you, but I got to face God for that one. And if I was wrong, I'll apologize to you when I get to heaven, all right? But I think we better lean on the side of caution, okay? The Bible says, one that rules his own children well. Everybody look at me very carefully here. I'm about to say something. If I'm successful, I could hair lip a whole lot of people in this world. That means rule their children well. Just because somebody has an adult child or a 17-year-old that goes and does something stupid does not disqualify them from being a deacon. Turn to Isaiah chapter 1. I'll show you something here. And I've got to hurry. Isaiah chapter 1. Look at verse number 2. Isaiah 1, verse number 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth. For the Lord hath spoken, I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. God said, I have reared up children, and they have rebelled against me. Guess God wouldn't qualify to be a deacon in some churches, huh? The Bible says that they rule their house well. It doesn't say that all the followers follow well. Because God had given every man a free spirit to choose whether to obey or disobey. Now, if you got 5-year-olds that are telling mommy and daddy what to do, that's not ruling your house real well. But when you got 17 and 18 and 19 and 20 and 21-year-olds, you can't control them because they're adults legally and they're out doing what they're supposed to do and however they have to face God for it. That doesn't mean that they were reared bad. Everybody understand that? I wonder how many of you were reared the right way and did something wrong?
Yes, sir.
I can answer that. All of us.
Amen.
All of us. So before you point a finger, I am so sick and tired of our country saying, well, if the child does bad, it's all mommy and daddy's fault. That's poppycock and tomfoolery.
Amen.
That's hogwash. I did a lot of things not the right way, and it wasn't my mommy and daddy's fault. I chose to do it. And by the way, when I touched the gas stove when it was on because I liked that blue flame, it wasn't my mommy and daddy's fault. They had told me, don't touch it. When I thought that that glowing red thing inside the toaster was pretty cool and stuck my finger on it, it wasn't mommy and daddy's fault. That was my fault. They told me, don't touch it, it's hot. Guess what? I found out. I didn't do it the second time on either case.
Amen.
I may not have been smart, but I was a quick learner. Yeah, buddy. Should we talk about some of the things you did, Brother Hawkins? No, sir. All right, here we go. Now, wait a minute. Just because someone has had children that may not turn out what you call right does not mean that they have disqualified themselves from being a deacon. Okay, everybody doing all right? The Bible says that they're also to have boldness. I don't know about you. These guys are pretty bold. They're not afraid of their faith. That means they go out soul winning. It means everywhere they, when they go somewhere, people know where they're from. Trust me. I get reports. I walked into Sheets this morning. Tammy, Ron must have been there yesterday. I walked in. She said, one of your guys from the church was in here yesterday asking about you if you had been in here yesterday morning. She says, you weren't here. I said, excuse me? She says, yes. Short little guy. But I said, okay, I know who it was. Wait a minute. Our people are bold. These men are not afraid. If I say go, these fellas are going. Say why? Because they're bold. That's what a deacon is supposed to be. He's supposed to help. If I said, fellas, I got a lady in need. I need you to take charge of this thing. They're capable enough to do it. Folks, that's what a deacon is all about. It's not about running the church. It's not a lay position to run the church. It is a lay position to help the pastor take the load off the pastor and the pastoral staff to do some of the service areas of the church that keep them too busy from meeting the needs of the people. I wish you knew how long it takes for me to study to feed you spiritually. This is not an easy crowd to feed, just so you know. Y'all are used to filet mignon and T-bone steaks. And all I am is pork chop and mashed taters, amen? And it takes a lot of work. But may I say this, these men have been used by God. Let me tell you just a little bit about them. Of course, Brother Brinklow not here tonight, but he works for GM as a fork truck driver. He got saved in 1972 by one of his co-workers. Took several months of working with him, but finally, in aisle K-59, Brother Brinklow at GM knelt and got saved at work one day. He and his wife Brenda have been married for 48 years and have 2 children. Just so you know, Brother Buck likes fried chicken, Diet Dr. Pepper, Lay's potato chips, and Gibble's restaurant. Then we've got Brother Jerry Lowther. Brother Jerry works for Northrop Grumman as a senior systems engineer. And Brother Lowther is, I don't know how else to say this, he is well respected worldwide. He works with very high-level things, has at times worked in and out of the White House. He works with high-level security systems for our country, and past that, we can't say anymore. Not many people know this, but he has clearances higher than most people in our country, security clearance-wise. And I can't go any farther with that. Brother Jerry got saved as a boy in second grade. Listen to this. At Coons Run Baptist Church. oh, my soul. Was that in West Virginia or Kansas? In West Virginia? Over on the other side? Okay. In real West Virginia. It had to be West Virginia to be called Coons Run Baptist. Amen. I'm not even sure God knows where it's at, but he did get saved there, all right? He and his wife, Janice, have been married for 25 years and have 7 children. God bless you. 6 girls and Levi. Brother Jerry likes Crunch and Munch. He likes coffee from Target. he likes Tostitos and Chunky Salsa. And he likes eating at Roma's restaurant. And all of you from the Agape Couples class understand why now. What a good man. Brother Jerry has been diagnosed with MS 13 years or 14 years now? 13 years now. He was supposed to have died 7 years ago. He's outlived 2 of the doctors that told him that. Say, what is that, God? I don't know that I know a more faithful man of God than Brother Jerry Lowther. I promise you that. Times his MS has him down and he will miss church services and he mourns over it. But I promise you, while we're having church, he's laying in bed crippled up praying for us and weeping for us to have church. Part of the reason we have what's going on here is because while he's crippled up, he's praying. I guess if the preacher was more spiritual and a better man of God, maybe he wouldn't be crippled up as bad and I could get him to church more. But sometimes I think God needs him beseeching the throne for me. Amen. And I appreciate Brother Lowther. Then there's Brother Mark Rogers. Brother Mark is the manager of Wholesale Tire here in Martinsburg. Brother Mark, how long have you been there? 28 years. Your wife's not that old to have been married to you, that's for sure. But Brother Mark grew up in church thinking he was saved, but made sure of his salvation November 4th, 2001. He and his wife, Leslie, have been married for 23 years. Told you she wasn't old enough to known him that long. And they have 2 daughters, Emily and Casey, and they're sitting back there right now. And good family. And I love these folks. Brother Mark is just one of those guys you got to be around. You just don't see him down. He gets discouraged like everybody else. He just doesn't tell you about it. And I like Brother Mark. He's a good man. Leslie is a mess. That woman, she's quiet, but once you get to know her, look out. Watch both sides, because it's coming from both sides, I promise you. They help me with the teenagers and teen Sunday school, and these are good folks. Brother Mark likes Reese's Cups, and you can tell he's had a few of them. He likes Chinese food, Coke, popcorn, and Peking Restaurant. Is that the one on Queen Street? I thought so. Down on Queen Street there. And that Brother Rogers, Chinese food, God bless you. I like it too, but just not as much as he does. And these are good men. And then Brother Matt Smith. Brother Smith is an electrician, and you still work for RCD? I thought so. Works for RCD Electric. Matt was raised a Catholic. Listen to this. But when the 911 bombings took place, made him open his Bible and find the truth, and Matt got saved shortly after 911. Matt and Susan have been saved for quite a while. They've been married for 15 years. They have 2 beautiful little girls. Matt's favorites are Payday candy bar, coffee or root beer, popcorn, and Cracker Barrel restaurant. Let me say, Brother Smith is a very unassuming man. When I needed someone to step up and lead congregational singing, because you all don't want me doing that again, and I needed somebody, Brother Smith says, I can't promise it's going to be very good, preacher, but I'll go up there and wave my arms and scream in that microphone if you need me to. I love that kind of spirit. By the way, does a great job with it. Our services are exciting because he keeps it that way. And by the way, works at it. I wished you saw every Saturday when he's in here working with Mrs. Logue practicing. He doesn't just get up and do it naturally. It takes work, and I appreciate that. And then, last but not least, my dear friend, Brother Gordon Taylor. Brother Taylor is retired from high-level service for the United States government. Brother Taylor got saved. Listen to this. November 28th. That's tomorrow. 2004. I remember knocking on his door that night. The door opened up and this grizzly bear hit the door. Told him who I was from the church. He said, I want nothing to do with church. He said, bunch of pussyfooting liberals. He said, going the way of the sodomites and the queers. He said, they're following the way of the world. They got the trashy. I mean, he just went off. About 45, 50 seconds of that. And I said, hold it. He said, what? I said, we're not like that. He said, you're not? I started telling him what we were. He said, come on in. In a little while, he and his wife got saved and baptized, his wife Dolores. I mean this. Brother Taylor may never, ever know how much he has encouraged me through these years. What a sweet man. That was not my first impression. It was one of those, okay, I got a grizzly bear, but inside that grizzly bear was a warm, squishy heart. God got a hold of that thing. He and his wife, Dolores, were married for 48 and a half wonderful years. And Dolores went to heaven. Brother Taylor, has it been seven?
9 years.
9 years. Good night. 9 years ago, she went to heaven. Just unbelievable. They have two children. And what a good man. Brother Taylor has done more personally for our church than you'll ever know. You'll just never know. Quietly does it. Doesn't want any attention. Just go do it. When we bought our van, we had to have a co-signer for the van because the church hasn't been around long enough. Brother Taylor says, what do I sign? They did a credit check on him. He said, that's okay. He said, just put my name on there. He said, we're good with it. Never flinched. That's the kind of men we have for deacons around here. I love that. Brother Gordon's favorites are Payday, Candy Bar. Don't give him one right now because he's got a crown getting put on his tooth that he broke. He loves steak. Amen. He likes, his favorite drink is water. He likes cheese curls. And, of course, his favorite restaurant, anybody that knows Brother Taylor knows it's Hoss's. And I tell you what a sweet man. By the way, a man that has worked hard to defend you, your church, and God all these years. He didn't know. None of these men knew what I was doing tonight. I stand out here with Brother Taylor before church and said, it's hard to believe God take an old sinner like me, Brother Bush, but I sure am glad he did. Boy, that's just his spirit all these years. I will close with this statement. I thank God for these five men and their wives. Good people. Good people. Are they perfect? Are you? No. Am I? Yes. No. They're not perfect, but they're good men. They help us. Men and your wives, not yours, Brother Taylor, but the deacons and their wives, on December 14th, I have a room at a local restaurant reserved, 4:30 p.m. It's a Saturday. We are all going to meet there and have a meal together because it's just time for us to get away and eat and for a way for the church to say we love you. And I don't know how else to say we love you other than with food, amen? But I want to say this. I'd like to say thank you in a special way on behalf of over 800 people in the last 14 months that have gotten saved who were bound for hell. Thanks for sticking by. Thank you for your being here at Soul Winning and making visits and helping and serving in all the different areas that you served and teaching in Sunday school and assistant teachers. And you'll never know. Poor Brother Mark, he never knows when he's got to teach, because sometimes I'm switching gears and going from this place to that place. And sometimes it's just been a week. I called him not long ago. I said, Brother Mark, I need your help. Can you teach Sunday? He said, sure, Brother Bush. Never flinched. Never flinched. I just needed it. I just had to have that little bit of time that I didn't have time to prepare like I should, and I didn't want to cheat the teenagers. And he say, well, you should. Oh, okay, I should have, but I didn't, and I needed him. Never flinched. Thank God for all those times he's been there like that, and all these men. Our church owes these men an awful lot. They have helped lay the foundation for Grace Baptist Church for many, many, many generations to come. I love you, men. It's an honor for me to serve with you, men. And church, I wanted you to know a little bit more about our deacons and know what a deacon is, know what they do. Say, oh, is it some big position? Yeah, it is, but it's a lay position. It's a position that you got to earn. Some of you men, I'm going to need you to step up and be a deacon one of these days. We'll talk about that at our business meeting coming up here soon as well. But I just wanted you to know that I love these men. And by the way, men, I just want you to know, our church loves you. And thank you for your service to our church. And we appreciate you. Every head bowed, every eye closed.